Okay, surely I tell you, whoever believes in me will do greater things than these. Let's just read that again. Surely I tell you, whoever believes in me will do greater things than these. So this was Jesus speaking to his disciples before he died, but he was speaking about us. He was speaking about the church in general. And he was saying that whatever we do when we believe in him, we will actually find these things are greater than the things that he did. Now, I always struggle with that verse. I always read that verse and think, how is that possible? How can we do greater things than Jesus? But I think that the series we are in at the moment, the conversation on growth, and on growth as a community and as people, I believe this series really highlights how we can do that, because we need each other. So we understand that Jesus grew. The Bible says that Jesus was born as a baby, and he grew, and he developed, and he was in the temple. He was learning in the temple as a young boy. That's where his parents found him. He submitted to his parents as he was growing up. He learned from them about life. He was the Son of God, so he knew who God was, and he was God. But also, he was growing as a human, and that's what we're talking about. Even his disciples, they grew. So when Jesus started his ministry, he actually started by inviting people to come and minister with him. Jesus could have done it all by himself. He's the Son of God. But he chose people. He chose disciples to come and minister to him. And these people were nothing special. They were just people that he saw that he knew God was going to bring growth through. He could have chosen any one of us, but he chose these particular people to walk with him. And they actually prayed with him and ministered with him, and they learned. And since that day, the church has been growing. Since that day, when Jesus died for the sins of the world, and he was raised back to life by the power of God, and he went to heaven, before he went to heaven, he said, look, you need to start to spread the message about what I've done, because this is good news for all people. And the church was born. And the church started, and it was a very small group of people, but again, the same theme is there. They were together. They were always together. They would go home to rest and sleep, obviously, and to pray privately. That's okay. But they wanted to be together because they knew that's where growth would come. And we read even when they went out on ministry, many times they went together. Jesus encouraged us to be together. And to be together is to be in community. And that's what we often call this place here. We can call it a church, but we often refer to Trinity as a community of people. And community, the word community, comes from the Latin word communis. And that doesn't mean much until we understand what that word originally meant. Communis actually meant common, public, or shared by many. Common, public, or shared by many. And when we're in a community, there's something we have in common. There's something that we share. You are all there because you're under the same tribe. You are all from the same tribe, so you're a community of that tribe. If you're an expat community, you've all come together because you've come from different parts of the world and you've decided to settle, for example, here in Kenya. So you join together under that. If you are a poetry community, we have a community that loves poetry here. And every Sunday at the end of the month, they meet and they share poetry. And there's actually an event today, which I'm really excited about. So there's a plug there for Mbunge. But the poetry community actually gather because they love poetry. There's something that everyone has in common, and it's a community of that. So in this place that we call Trinity, in this church, in this tent that we meet every Sunday, what is it that we are gathered under? What is it that we are gathered to represent and to press into? It's faith. It's the fact that even if we don't know Jesus and we walk into this tent, we know that something about God or people who believe in God meet here. And if we do know Jesus, we gather here because we believe the presence of God is here, and that when we come together, we can come to know him more fully. As a community, God encourages unity. It's actually the last part of that word, community. The last part of that word is unity. And some people say community can be seen as common unity. It's something we have in common, but equally we're united under that thing. And this is something that can bring power. Because when we're united under somebody as powerful as God, when we're united under a faith and a belief that is not of ours but is of God, things can change and we can grow. So before Jesus died, he was in the garden again with his disciples. And he was actually praying to God because he was like, I don't know how I can face death. We often forget that. We think, oh, Jesus just walked to the cross and there was nothing he felt. He felt a lot of things. He felt a lot of pain. He felt a lot of anguish. The Bible talks about he was actually on his knees crying out to God to take this away from him. He didn't want to die, but yet he wanted to because of us. He was torn between his flesh and his spirit. His flesh was like, I can't do this, but his spirit knew that he had to do it to call us to himself and to save us, to be with him. So when he was praying, he also prayed for us. He also prayed not just for his disciples, but he also prayed for us, for everyone, for myself, for everyone that is sitting here today. He prayed for us. And I want us to read what he said, because these words really show the value that he had for us to be united. So it says, Father, may they all be one, as you are in me and I am in you. May they be in us, for by this unity, the world will believe that you sent me. Okay, we're going to go over that a few times because there's a lot of you, me, us, who, what. There's a lot of that in there, okay? But we're going to go through it again so that we understand. So it says, Father. So Jesus is talking to God, his Father. Father, may they all, that's us, may they all be one. May we be one. That's what Jesus prayed. May we, as a church worldwide, be one. As you are in me and I am in you. So Jesus is saying, I know that I'm in you, Father, and I know that you're in me, and I know that's how you give me the power to do all these things. May they be in us. Now, this was before Jesus had even died. He knew what he was going to have to go through because of what we've done. He knew our sin, but he wanted us to be in him. He wanted us to be in the Father. He wanted us to be united, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He wanted us to be with them. And that's why he said, may they be in us. For by this unity, the world will believe that you sent me. The world will believe that you sent me. By the church being united, the world will believe that God sent Jesus. How amazing is that? And how can we even imagine what that would look like? We see part of it now in the world. But to imagine that the world can see how united we are as a community and decide that because we see them, God must have sent Jesus. That must be true. Because we know there's people out there who think that's a rumor. There's people out there who think, oh, those people believe that thing about Jesus. You know what? But actually, by us being united and by his power uniting us, we can actually believe and know that that is true, and the world can see us. And through that, we can do the greater things Jesus talked about that cause the world to see who he is. I think that's just powerful. And if you're taking notes, that's in John 17:21. The book of John 17:21. Unity comes through growing in God. So when I talk about can we all be united, there's a lot of things probably spring to mind. There's possibly a lot of hurt or a lot of misunderstanding that springs to mind. Because when we join together as a community, there are differences. There are many differences. There are people that grew up in very different circumstances to you, and they are wired differently. So coming together can be quite problematic if we are looking to do it just ourselves. So I am originally from England, but I moved to Tanzania in 2016. And I was there in total for about 2 years. And when I arrived there, I experienced the unity of the church worldwide. I had met people, and suddenly they felt like family very quickly. And I was so shocked, and it was amazing. And I could sense Jesus' church around the world. But then, because we grew up in very different parts of the world, there were some things that they did that were very different to what I would do. And equally, and more importantly, there were things I did that I had no idea were offensive to them, that they told me, hey, that's offending me. Why did you do that? Why did you say that? And we had to learn to grow as a community. We had to learn to overcome those things. And I confess there were some things that I didn't deal with very well. There were some things that actually, until recently, were still being held in my heart. And it's very easy for those things to grow and to develop and to actually overpower what God is trying. Because I believe God's response when we're wanting to grow as a community, God's response to conflict or differences is, okay, what am I doing here? Put me in the middle of that. Let's see what I'm saying to you, what I'm doing here. And see, when we do that, I've also had times where I've done that. It's been so different. You suddenly find that when you remember we're united under God and we call on the power of God to unite us and to change us and to call our differences into alignment with His will, there can be powerful relationships and friendships that last forever. And I'm saying that especially when we're in a cross-cultural community like this. There will be many things that we have been taught differently. And it's about when those things come up, instead of saying, oh, those people are different to me, I don't understand them, it's about saying, okay, and God loves unity in diversity. It can be very challenging when the enemy can come into our mind. So we know that as a community of believers under Jesus, we are under Him, but there is also an enemy. And the enemy, always from the beginning of time, has tried to tell us that God didn't say what He said. That's been the biggest thing that the enemy has done since the beginning of time. So many of us will know the story of Adam and Eve in the beginning and how the enemy came in and convinced Eve that God didn't say something He very clearly said. And because of that, Eve did something that she didn't know the repercussions that it would have. And I believe today when Jesus is saying, may they be as one, may we be as one, may we be together as one, the enemy will equally come in and say, oh, no, not with those people. You can be one with those people, but not with those people. Or, yes, you can be one, but if they hurt you, then it's okay. You can walk away. And there are circumstances where we have to protect ourselves. I understand that there are those circumstances. But ultimately, God is calling us to unity. And so I want us to look at how this is possible and how we can actually get there. Because it's a good concept, but we need to know how. We need to know how we can become more unified and more together. And I actually think this community is one of the most unified communities I've ever been in. I think the love of God that we have is so strong, and the love that we share for each other, and the way that we just cross divides and we just bridge gaps, it's so beautiful. And I think that God is just wanting to bless that and increase the blessing on that today. So we're going to read from 1 Corinthians 3, verses 6 to 8. And the man who wrote this is called Paul. We may have heard about Paul up here. Some people call him Edgar's best friend. he talks about Paul a lot. So Paul was a man in the Bible. He came in after Jesus had gone back to heaven. And he actually started his life by persecuting Christians. He hated the church. He hated Christians. He didn't understand them at all. And so because of that, he spent his life being radical to kill them, being radical to persecute them. But actually, when he came to know Jesus, he had this crazy encounter with Jesus where he saw Jesus and the Spirit of God spoke to him and said, Paul, why are you persecuting me? And he was so convicted in his heart that Jesus was real. He turned from his ways and he followed Jesus and he became a radical lover of the church. He actually became a radical lover of the church. And do you think maybe that there was something in him that saw the unity that these guys had and was surprised? That saw the unity of the church, the way they ate together, they shared together, they prayed together. I'm sure it was a shock for him to come into that community after killing those people. And so this is what he wrote about how the church can grow. This is something God gave him and he shared it with one of the churches in Corinth. He said, my job was to plant the seed, and Apollos was called to water it. Any growth comes from God. So the ones who water and plant have nothing to brag about. God, who causes the growth, is the only one who matters. That doesn't mean when we do something good, we can't say that we did it. But it's saying ultimately the growth has come from God. So if we are the most gifted person, or if we are somebody who feels scared to try something, both times God is the one who's bringing the growth. And this is Paul, who did mighty things for God, but he's saying it's not about me. So many times you will read, he says, it's not about him, and he always does. He always does bring growth. So like we say, he is faithful, and he gives grace. When we are growing, he is faithful, and he gives the grace to grow and grow and grow more. And grace basically means something we don't deserve. So we can mess up and think, yeah, I don't deserve to be picked up from that. But God always picks us up because he's always faithful. And so whatever thing we can think of now that we tried and maybe it didn't work, or maybe somebody we know we shouldn't have said that thing to, he has grace for all of that. And that's how the church grows, because it's different to other communities. You can get things wrong or you can get things right. However much of each thing, God is always bringing the growth. So I want to just use an example from my life. It's a long story, but basically I had a long-term illness and was healed when I was about 24 in a church just like this. And from that time, I was really trying to see what God was doing in my life. I knew there was something about Africa. And my pastors in the church, I come from a vineyard church in England called Gateway Vineyard, and they really saw God working in my life. And even though I had no qualifications, I had nothing that would make them say, try this, they called me to try out different things in ministry. So I never prayed for people. I would always just watch and go, that's for those people, not for me. I never did that. And I received prayer quite happily, and that's how I got my healing. But that's all I thought it was for me. I never thought that I would be somebody who would pray for people. And so one day, one of my life group leaders, we have like these groups that meet weekly, and one of them said to me, come on, come down to the front with me and pray. They do prayer ministry at the front there, which is a little bit scary. And we went down to the front, and he just said, stand with me, and we'll pray for somebody. And I'm like, okay, we're going to pray. Nobody came. And that doesn't matter, but for me, for my first time trying, it was hard. And I was like, oh, maybe they saw me, and they think, oh, no, we don't trust her. And you think all these things, you know? And I was like, I can't do that. And so we went back and sat down, and I said, I'm not doing that again. He said, no, you're doing it again. You're coming again next week. I was like, oh, no. And he said, yes, you're going to do it. And so I went down again the second week with John, my leader, and we stood there. And somebody came this time. And so this time somebody came, and I'm like, oh, I'm not prepared. What am I going to do? You know, I was like, ah. And we stood there, and he started to pray, and I just laid my hands on and listened to what he was praying. And to cut a long story short, from there, I started to love prayer ministry. I started to love praying for people because I could see what God was doing. And so we would stand many weeks, and then I started to stand on my own, and people would still come to me and trust me with some really deep things, which it can feel overwhelming sometimes. You can feel like, I shouldn't be listening to that. I'm just joy. You know, I'm not somebody who has the qualifications to take that on. But yet, when it's God who's bringing the growth, it doesn't matter who you are. When it's God who's bringing the growth, you can be anybody. And if you put yourself into the place where God wants to use you, he can enable you to grow. There were times where we went out and did street evangelism, which at the beginning scared me so much, so much. But I grew to love it. And we would go and give words to people. We would tell people, God is saying this. And I tried. And sometimes it wasn't what God was saying at all. It really wasn't. And the people would just be like, no. I'd be like, okay. Just move on, just, you know, you'll never see me again. But it's a whole different thing when you're in a community where the people will see you again, and it takes a whole different level of trust. But again, when God is bringing the growth, and when we're loving each other, and when we're picking up grace and saying, grace is enough for me to be able to try this, things can change so much. Even when I arrived here in Trinity, Edgar said to me, you should go along to the worship practice just to be part of the worship and listen to what they're doing and worship with them. And I thought, oh, great, Thursday night, I just get to, then George started to see something in me, a gift that God had put in me that I wasn't aware of. I didn't know. And he said, you can sing? I said, oh, really? You know, what? And he said, yeah, you know, and I said, yeah, I suppose I used to sing as a kid and it's something I've never picked up. And he said, no, you can really sing. You should sing with us. And the worship team here, they will laugh because I was like, no. I just said, I'm sorry, not on stage. You know, we can do it on Thursdays, but not on stage. I'm sorry. And they let me grow. They didn't just push me, they let me grow. Until one week, eventually, I just said, okay, maybe I'll try this week. They said, really, you'll try? Not pushing me, just you'll try? I said, yeah, okay, I'll try. Got up on the stage, and I was so nervous, but I felt God release something in me that I didn't even know was there. I didn't even know it was there. And there was this release in my heart, and all these things, and even like past hurts that I'd had that began to be released and it began to come out through worshiping God. And I received a lot of emotional healing that I didn't even know I needed. And until now, my friends at home, they laugh when I say I worship on stage with Trinity. They're like, what? I'm like, yes. And that's leadership calling gifts out. And I'm so thankful to George and to Edgar and to the whole worship team for calling those things out of me, because I didn't know they were there. And I think there's many things in this room, many things people have inside them that they're not aware are there. And God is wanting to call those things out and wanting to use us. But it's about focusing on the growth that God brings, focusing on the fact that He is the one who brings the growth. When I stood on the stage here shaking, it was Him who was bringing the growth in me, not myself. All I did was said, okay, and step forward. And that's what Alan was speaking about last week, walking on water, how we can step out of the boat and we can trust Jesus because He is faithful. And when somebody offends or hurts us, we can say, Jesus, what are you doing in this? Let me come with you to this person and let's talk about this together. There's many different scenarios with that, but that's one of the ways that you can deal with it. And it's so powerful when God brings growth. It's so powerful when you fall out with somebody and you think that you'll never be able to be friends again. And you pray about it, and you go back to the person, and God has already been working there. And the relationship grows even more than it had before. So those are the kind of things that I feel God's calling us into today. And this is going to be a little bit different now, what we're going to do, but I want to invite those people in the worship team that know who they are to just come to the front. We're going to do a short illustration of how God can bring growth. So if those people could come, I'm just going to grab something from the store. I'll disappear for a minute. I will be back. Okay, so when I was preparing for this today, I felt like God said, be creative. And I didn't really know what that meant. But then this visual came to mind. So this balloon that Mercy has, if you hold it in the air, this says growth in God. And we are to keep focused on the growth that God brings in a community. We're not to focus on the things that other people do. Sometimes we need to correct them, but generally we need to be focusing on the growth. And even in correction, you can still be growing. So what Mercy's going to do is throw this balloon in the air. And as a unified team, they are going to keep it up there and keep focused on it. And you're going to watch them working together and facilitating the growth so you can start. Okay, so you can see the growth is being maintained because everyone is together, everyone is looking at what God is doing, and everyone is seeing that even when there's failure, there's growth, and there's someone to pick that person up. Okay, but now, for example, let's say George does something that really offends people and really annoys people. What happens? The growth just falls. The growth stops. Do you see? Do you see? The growth has fallen to the ground. It's stopped. But then, and it says, okay, we're going to pick this up again, and we're going to keep growing together. So George continues to grow. And we see the growth continues to move. They're working together. Yeah, and we can see what God is doing there and how being united as a community and focusing on the growth that God brings is so fruitful. Okay, but now somebody, let's say George again, discourages everybody, or Uber this time, discourages everybody, and people actually get so discouraged they walk away. They actually walk away. They say, okay, I've had enough of this. What happens there? The growth has stopped. The growth is not able to reach its full potential because people have stopped focusing on God. But let's all come back together again. Uber's ready to pick it up again. And we're going to continue to see the growth and how there's healthy fellowship. And yeah. And that's how God wants his church to be. When we keep focused on the growth that God brings, there will still be mistakes. There will still be things that discourage. But when we stay together and we continue to grow in God, that is what will be maintained. And that's what God is calling us to. Thank you.